Hello, hi, and welcome to Medium Lady Talks. I'm your host, Erin, and I'm here with my collaborator, Dr. Ellen Wong. We are continuing with part 8 of our mini-series on happiness. This is episode 8. We're talking about S is for social connection. When I think about social connection and happiness, I'm looking to create, cherish, and be present with those who matter most. Ellen, hopefully we've been able to create some really easy social connection for folks through the last few weeks of the challenge. That's really been a very, very rich social connection between you and I. I definitely feel very happy about our social connection. And I'm hoping that the audience has also been able to access some of that through the 21 Days of Happiness Challenge. You know, I mean, I think sometimes we think we're being social, but maybe we're not achieving connection. Why is this an important part of the happiness framework?
All right. So a little while ago, there was a study that was published on the idea of why social connection is probably the single most important contributing factor to our levels of happiness. And loneliness has the same effect on our health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Whoa.
So negative effects, obviously, on, on our health. And so when I heard that, I really started looking into this whole idea of like, what is social connection? Like, how connected do you have to be to fulfill this criteria of connecting with someone? And the research is actually very interesting around this, is that we, first of all, it's definitely quality over quantity. You can have a couple of very close friends that you connect with, and that is fine. You don't need to have like huge like crowds of people. Mm-hmm. I think that's very easy to picture if you're hearing this. Like that seems very obvious. Then I started thinking, well, what about people who experience social anxiety? Like I know I have. Mm-hmm. I know you've shared very openly about feeling anxious about things and living with anxiety. There's probably people who are anxious or depressed and have a hard time feeling like they can get out or like connect with people. So what about those people? Does that mean they cannot achieve social connection? And when I was digging into this little bit more, what I discovered is that you can spark social connection even if you look at somebody in the eye and smile. There's layers of connection. And I do not want anyone to feel like if they are in a situation in their life right now where they cannot have that deep connection with a close group of people, therefore they are doomed and therefore they cannot have any social connection. Mm-hmm. I think, yes, if that's possible for you, that's fantastic. If you are in a season in your life right now and that's not possible, the next time you go to the grocery store and you see someone, make eye contact and smile. Do that. Mm-hmm. If you go out in nature and do your 5-minute walk and you happen to see, make eye contact and smile. And I think it feels small, but imagine if everyone did that. Imagine what the world would feel like if every single person just smiled at the person they interacted with, even if they are a stranger. Just like imagine the difference our world would, in my head, it automatically feels brighter and happier if mm-hmm. we just, mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of, you know, staring at our feet or looking at our phones or whatever, just actually made eye contact with people and smile. I also don't want to ever say that if you create a connection on social media with someone, it's not a real connection. I think there's a lot around that too. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. Like I have friends who do not live anywhere near me. And the only way we connect is through technology, whether it's social media, like Zoom calls or video chats or like whatever it is, it's still a form of connection. And it's whatever feels right to you, whatever feels okay and good to you, I think that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love how you're saying this. I mean, I certainly have more examples of this post-pandemic, but I remember the times when we were all going around with masks all the time and we had to social distance and we were sort of scared of each other. And it created this it really fueled a sense of mistrust mm-hmm. in our communities mm-hmm. that still plagues us to this day. Mm-hmm. I think we are less sure if we can trust our neighbors and our community than we were before the pandemic, mm-hmm. which is ironic to me because the only thing that got us by in those early days, that first summer of the pandemic, was going outside with all three kids, walking the neighborhood and seeing the same people every day. Mm-hmm. We would see the same people sitting on their porches. We would see the same kids playing in their front yards. We would wave at the same people coming and going from work. And that was the thing that it reminded us that we were sort of all in it together, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And yet, I think this comment that you're making about, like, just go out into your life being willing to make eye contact and smile at people. You don't really know what that's going to do for them, but I can promise for you, mm-hmm. it's going to make a huge difference. One of the things I put on my 40 for 40 list was about getting to know the names of people who are in my community. Mm. And this started off as kind of cringy at first, but like when I'm at the library, I will ask the librarian their name and I'll introduce myself. When I'm at the grocery store, I will ask or I will try to use the checkout clerk's name. If I can see the name on their name tag, I'll say, oh, thanks for your help today. You know, Dinez or Danielle, mm-hmm. those are the folks I see more often. I say like, oh, hi, I'm Erin. I like to use your name and try to, you know, make that cringy sort mm-hmm. of like I'm using your name mm-hmm. type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people think like I'm wearing a name tag so that you can complain about me if you need my name, if I did something wrong. It's this weird surveillance thing rather than it's a shortcut to social connection. Mm-hmm. And that's me. I'm an extrovert and I have found a lot of personal peace and satisfaction going through my day, mm-hmm. being prepared to smile at people. I commute every day. I commute almost 2 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And if I was unwilling to make eye contact with folks, unwilling to smile, unwilling to hold doors for people and say thank mm-hmm. you, then I think it would make that commute a real drag. And it's actually like almost my favorite time of day mm-hmm. because I feel connected to my environment, but I'm alone for most of my commute. You know, I'm by myself. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate being by myself, mm-hmm. but I also don't feel lonely mm-hmm. during my commute. And I don't want that to sound preachy to people. Like, I think I also am, you know, a white middle-class woman. I can move through the world with a lot of safety. So I also don't want to say that in a way that precludes that conversation about safety. And I don't think that's what we're talking about, Ellen, when we're talking about social connection is not about sacrificing your safety mm-hmm. in the context of happiness mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. social connection. One of my things on my notes here, I've said, you know, a lot of millennial mothers maintain and sustain many social connections, often for our kids and spouses. Mm-hmm. How do we mindfully make sure that we're accessing presence with those who matter most for ourselves and not just doing that in service of our kids or our partners?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is actually define whose presence matters most to you.
Mm.
I always say this. I always say, if you show me what your calendar looks like, I'll show you what your priorities are.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily going to be what matters mm-hmm. most to you.
It's often not. Now, I'm not saying you therefore have to stick your date nights and your kids' play dates in your calendar. I'm not saying that. However, if your calendar has a lot of work and then like work time extends into, you know, after hour and like weekends and you're thinking about work, what that tells me is there's not a lot of white space in your life mm-hmm. for things that matter. I'm not saying work doesn't matter because mm-hmm. I think we talked about purpose. We talked about like all the things that like these things matter to us. Although at the end of the day, I think your family and your loved ones will matter more. And I don't want to sound really more, like, I actually had, there's a very long pause in there if you don't edit it out. And part of it is like, it's like, I wanted to say you're replaceable at work. And I don't want to sound morbid. And I don't want to sound like, I don't know, it's very negative to say it that way. But it's also kind of true.
It's absolutely true. Even with kindness and compassion. So I have had, as a leader at work, I've had people who've had to tap out for health-related reasons and issues and whatever. Mm. And the truth of the matter is that that breaks my heart to see people who need to take a health-related leave because I want them to be well mm-hmm. and I want them to be here to do the work that we're doing together. Mm-hmm. But the fact of the matter is that even people I deeply care about who have to leave work, mm-hmm. I have to replace the effort and mm-hmm. the way that that work is being resourced. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that that even has to be morbid. That's just factually true mm-hmm. is you are replaceable at work, not because you're disposable, mm-hmm. but because in all actuality, unless you're the entrepreneur of your own venue, mm-hmm. your workplace has a mission and values that they want to execute on and that they're hiring people to do. And that doesn't have to be because they're an evil corporation that you're replaceable. It could be they have to replace you because the mission of their work is really important.
And I think even if you're an entrepreneur, and again, like I sound very negative right now, but again, fact, like you said, fact of the matter is as an entrepreneur, you are running a business, you're providing a service and an offer. If it's not you, someone else will also do it. That's the bottom line of all of this. And I think it's beautiful to find purpose and love and enjoy and find happiness in your work. I think ultimately at the end of the day though, you know, like the people who matter the most, if you actually like took out, you know, flip this and say, write down a list of the people who matter the most to you.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. I like reframing it that way.
You're not going to write work. You're not going to write your manager.
No, your boss. Yeah.
It's not happening. You're going
to. Maybe. But there's probably some other people there too. Yeah. Yeah.
So then how, and let's face it, like most of us are quote unquote forced to be at work or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like you've got work, you've got to put your hours in. Like, that's fine. Like it is what it is. And you know, your kids are at school, you're at work. The time that your family or your partner or your, like the time that you get to connect with them is actually not that long. You know, in a span of a 24-hour day, like it's actually not that long. And I think sometimes we just have to disconnect from the work, disconnect from the things that are like output related and just be with the people that are on our list of who matters most.
I'm going to add a caveat to what you said. Because I think that I've seen a lot of narrative in the motherhood space on Instagram, which I spend a lot of time there because I feel like it's generally like my target audience. And I have seen lately this rhetoric about like you only get, you know, 400 weekends after they turn 12. I don't know what it is.
Like,
it's like this sense of like, don't forget, mom, time is slipping through your fingers. Make the most of it. You know, race to the finish line of your parenthood and connect with your kids. And I don't think it's meant to be that threatening, but I do think it creates this sense of social connection as an obligation. Connection to your loved ones as an obligation, connection to your loved ones as a flag of your moral superiority as a mother, as a wife, you know, remind people you're doing your date night so that they know that you're a better wife than they are, you know. But again, if you can link that social connection piece to the inner peace moment, to the inner peace pillar, and think about stimulus and response. If the stimulus is your desire to be with the people you care about, then you can also engage kindness, self-compassion, and thoughtfulness before you respond to that desire to connect and engage with somebody, because you can actually create an expansion of time, even though you really don't have that much time. After my workday and sleeping and commuting, I really don't have that much time with my kids and spouse after their baseball practice and, you know, the PTA list and whatever else is going. I'm not on the PTA, but I feel like that's just people say, but you know, the podcast, after the podcast and everything else, it's like I really don't have enough time. But if I activate inner peace when it comes to my social connections, I don't put myself in this rat race of motherhood that has an expiry date, then I can engage and activate social connection in a way that's really meaningful and purposeful.
I think this is really like, it's a really good example. Listen, social media is all about trying to catch people's attention. Like everybody who's on social media and uses it for their work or whatever, it's like you got to write the most captivating hooks and whatever, whatever, all that thing. So writing the you only have 400 summers left, or I don't even know what the number is, like that is a, it's a captivating hook, and that's the purpose of it. It caught your attention. How you then integrate that information is entirely up to you. You can then be like, shoot, rat race to the finish. I must do all the things for every single summer. And like you can think about it like that and get into that mentality and get into that headspace. Or you can say like, great, that's how many I have. Like what feels right for me to do? What feels right for my family? What feels right for me? You are allowed to make that decision. Like the hook was just the hook, right? Like that's all it was. It was meant to trigger that.
Yeah.
That's why it's a viral post. Like that is literally what it was meant to do. You don't have to buy into it. You can choose to see it from a place of scarcity and now panic, or you can choose to be like, fantastic. That is just actually a probably factual number. And I get to make a decision around how I want to approach that. And it doesn't have to be like it doesn't have to be this, again, back to that, like the nature pillars, like it doesn't have to be this huge thing. Like some of the best times that you can spend with your kids, if we're like going down this route, is like 20 minutes of just doing whatever they're doing with them.
Yeah, it's true.
Like my daughter's so thing lately is like she wants to eat popcorn with me while she watches Bluey. Like that's the thing. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm not going to sit here and like debate about the health benefits of popcorn. I'm not going to sit here and debate about the benefits or lack thereof of screen time. She wants to watch 20 minutes of Bluey with me and we share popcorn together. And she thinks it's hilarious that she picks out the big piece for herself and the smaller piece for me. She thinks it's absolutely hilarious. And that's what she wants. And like, not going to sit there and teach her about kindness and sharing and like, it's not like it's selfish to give yourself the big piece. It's always like, none of this is important. It's just 20 minutes and it's just sitting there and we giggle over the fact that she thinks it's hilarious that she picks out the tiny pieces for me. Like it's just, none of it matters. It's 20 minutes. And I make it a point that my device is somewhere else. There's nothing around. I'm just sitting there watching with her and joking about the popcorn. And it'll probably change by next week because at that age, everything changes in a week. Like everything is a phase and that's fine. Yeah. But like, I don't have to worry about that. I'm not sitting there thinking about how many 400 hours, whatever. Like I'm not thinking about any of those. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just 20 minutes and it fills her cup and it fills my cup.
I love that.
That's it. You know, like it doesn't have to be complicated. I don't have to make it into a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get ahead of myself and be like, oh, how many of these – she's going to leave the house when she turns 18. And how many of these nights, like it doesn't matter. Like it's just being there for the 20 minutes. And I think that's what cultivates the presence.
Yeah. Yeah. So I like this because I think we tried to give a little bit of tough love in the nature pillar, episode 6. And we were sort of like, just go outside, stop thinking about what you're going to do after you go outside, just go outside. I think the social connection pillar in a lot of ways can use a lot of tough love too. Just spend time with people who matter. It doesn't matter how you spend time with them. It doesn't matter how long you spend with them. It doesn't matter where you go or what you do or what you put on social media after you spend time with them. Just spend time with the people who matter. And you will measurably see gains in your own life happiness. All right, everyone, that's been episode 8. S is for social connection. We've been reviewing all 9 elements of the happiness framework here with my collaborator, Dr. Ellen Wong. I want to encourage you, as always, to go ahead and download Ellen's happiness guide, which is linked in the show notes. And we really hope that you'll chime in and let us know if you like this. Please take a screenshot right now, post it to your social media, and We know there's flip sides to all kinds of social media, but we would love to spend a bit of time connecting socially with you using technology and hearing about how you're doing, what you're thinking about this happiness framework, and how it's coming to life with examples in your own day-to-day. Thanks, everyone. We're going to be in the home stretch now. We're heading into part 9. It's S is for sustainability. We'll talk to you later. Bye.